Learn today's daf. I believe,
Host,
I believe if
Michael, you're the host, so you have to hit record.
I have to hit record.
Or give me permission. Yeah.
Okay, I got record on the cloud to the cloud, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's on. Both things recording. Today's daf. Let's learn today's daf for a zuchus. It's the first yahrzeit of Moshe Hirsch, Chaya Moshe ben Binyamin Tzvi. Neshama should have an aliyah. So I believe we are on daf yud. A couple lines, like four lines down, by the words maskif. So the Gemara is going back to what Rabbi Chanina said yesterday. Rabbi Chanina said yesterday that from the moment that the person like undoes his belt, like he loosens his belt, then he does not have to go daven marav. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, if he completely doesn't have to do marav, or if he just can finish his meal and then can daven marav afterwards, so long as he loosens his belt. So the Gemara, so maskif l'Roshesha. So Roshesha asked Rabbi Chanina, why is it such a big deal? So if the guy, you know, undid his belt, what, tirchusim lemesar himene, is it such a big deal to tie his belt again, to put his belt on, right? Why is it, so just to tie your belt again and go daven marav. Va'od leku hechi v'lechli. What's the big deal? So maybe he doesn't tie his belt. So just stand up and daven. And if you don't have your belt on, what's the big deal? So the Gemara says, mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says, hikon likras elokecha Yisrael. Be prepared or beautify yourself. Rashi says, Hisna elifanov. You should make yourself beautiful when you come to daven before Hashem. And therefore, if you're supposed to be beautiful before you come to daven before Hashem, that's why you have to have your belt on. The problem is with that answer, as Tosfos points out, that doesn't seem to answer the first question. The first question was, there are two questions. Number one was, why doesn't he just redo his belt? And number two was, oh, it's just, why daven without the belt? So we answered why you're not without the belt. You daven without the belt because it's supposed to be hikon, he's supposed to be beautiful. But what about the first question? Tosfos points out, Tosfos tirchusa, he says, v'lo chayish l'shnuyei kushi kamaisa. Doesn't seem to care about the first answer. So if you just look at the Rekiva Eger, the Gilyon Shas, you know, he's like a computer. He points out all the other times in Shas where this you know, phenomenon happens, where Gemara asks two questions and doesn't answer one of them. But there happens to be that the Ritva says it answers both questions. Because the Ritva says, the way the Ritva learns it is, the Ritva says is that this answers both questions, because once you say hikon, which means you have to beautify yourself before you dive in, then it doesn't just mean that you have to retie your belt. It means you have to tuck yourself in, you have to do the whole thing, you have to get all prepared. So you have to get all prepared, so maybe that's a tircha for him to do in the middle of the meal, you know, tuck yourself in, put your shoes on, tie your shoes, comb your hair, put your hat on, whatever it is you need to do. That might be a tircha, so you might as well wait till after the meal. So it's Machlokas Rashi, Ritva and Tosos as to whether or not this question answers answers both questions. Tosos just continues and points out, he says, if you go back to Natosos, he says, Mikan shetzarich la'azor chalatzav kimishis palel. From here you see that you have to, like, basically tie your cloak, put on a gartel, to tie your cloak when you're davened. But he then Kosos then quotes, Ubamachzer vitri mefarish, the Machzer vitri explains why you have to put on this gartel when you daven. Mishum the ta'am ba'inan azor shaloye libo roes erva. The idea is that you can't have your heart see your makom erva. There has to be a separation from your upper body and your lower body. So the Machzer vitri explains, v'dafke lehen, and only specifically for them, shelo haya lehem michnasayim, they didn't wear pants, they wore cloaks. Shelo haya michnasayim, l'kach hayu tzrichim la'azor b'shas tfila. According to Machzer vitri, that's where they had to put on this belt while they daven, aval lidon, but for us, sheyish lanu avnet shel michnasayim, that we have our pants, and we have a waistband around our pants, ein anu tzrichim la'azor, we do not have to wear the gartel. However, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he says, Shulchan Aruch Simon Sadi Aleph says, Tzarich la'azor ezor b'shas tefila. You have to put on this belt, this gartel, around you when you daven. Afilu yesh lo avnet, even if you have a waistband, she'en libo rosa erva, even if en libo rosa erva. Because, if you notice, there seems to be two reasons why you have to wear the gartel. Reason number one was what Machzer Vitri pointed out as an ein libo rosa erva, but our Gemara, it seems to be because of the reason of hikon. There's this beautifying aspect. There's this aspect of putting the clothing on in a certain way to daven. So why would that make a difference whether libo rosa erva or not? The Mishnah Brewer points out, though, that b'dievet, if you daven without an ezor, you're yotze, and it says also it's a midas chasidus, even you know, to wear the gartel. I know from Rabbi Willig said that this idea of hikon, Rabbi Willig Sr., said that this idea of Hikon applies right before Shemona Esrei. Meaning right before Shemona Esrei, that's when you're supposed to beautify yourself and prepare and do something nice for davening. So he would either straighten his tie, because he was wearing a tie, or fix his top button, or straighten your clothing, or do something right before Shemona Esrei to prepare for the davening. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of examples of Amoraim, of what they did during davening to accomplish this idea of hikon, of beautifying themselves before they daven. So Rava bar Rav Huna, Rami Puzmake Umatzle. So he would put on his shoes, right? He would put on his shoes, and Rashi said, Tosfos says here, Mikan yesh lo chiyach she'im lehispalel yatif, el lebetish above Yom Kippur. You're not supposed to daven barefoot, except on Tisha B'av Yom Kippur. So he would put tie his shoes on Amar, and he would say, he would do that. Why? He called the cross, Lekach Yisrael. You'd be prepared to beautify yourself before you call out to Hashem. Rava, what he would do? Rava, Shadi Glimi, he would take off his cloak, Upacha Yodei Umatzle, and he would clasp his hands, right? He would clasp his hands together in Davin. Amar Ka'avdo Kamei Mari. He would do that because he would be like a servant before his master with his hands clasped before him. You see a lot of people do that. They put their hands, you know, fingers interlocked over their heart. and he would daven. Amar Rav Ashi says, Chazina Leila Rav Kahana. I've seen Rav Kahana. Ki ikat sara ba'alma. So when, at a time like now, when there's a tsar in the world, shade glimi upachach yadi matzei. Then he would throw off his cloak and put his hands together. Because then he would, Amar ka'avda kamayari. If we're dealing with the time of Eitzara, you have to appear before Kadosh Baruch Hu as a servant before his master. But ki ika shlama. But if there's a time of peace, time of goodness that's going on, then lavishu mitzkase. Then he would wear his cloak umit atef umatzli, and he would wrap his head with the talis, and he would daven. And Amar hikol nekras l'kach Yisrael. He would dress in a certain way of honor. So there are two ways to go dress before Hashem when you come to davening. If it's an Eis Sara, you dress like an Eved Bifnei Rabo. But if it's an Eis Bracha, then you dress in this honor, beautiful way in order to Hikol Nikras Lekech Yisrael. Rava Chazei LeRav Hamnuna DeKama Arech Mitzlosei. So Rava saw Rav Hamnuna, who was davening for a very long time. And Amar, so Rava says to him, basically criticized him, why are you davening so long? You're leaving things that are that give life in the for the entire life for eternity, which is Torah, which is Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. But Osim Chai Shah, and you're dealing with things that are just temporal. Why? Because davening, we ask for all of our kashos. So why are you spending so much time on the thing that only Chai Shah? You should not spend so much time on Chai Shah, and you should spend more time. You should spend more time learning, because that's Chai Olam Haba. So Vahu Savar, meaning Rav Hamnuna, said that I should spend the time davening, is my tefillah l'chud, is my Torah l'chud. There's a time and a place for everything. There's a time for Torah, and there's a time for learning. And the two shouldn't mix. When you're learning, you shouldn't daven. I guess when you're davening, you shouldn't be learning. You should be spending your time. You know, we should also be so makbid on how much that we learn when we're not learning, as we are when we are davening. You should spend the time davening, and spend the time learning. Rabbi Yirmiya have a Yosef kamei de Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya was sitting before Rabbi Zeira. V'havo oske b'shmaita, and Rabbi Yirmiya, they were learning. Nagal isluye. So I guess the people came. They came to them to make a minyan to daven. V'hava kamisarhe Rabbi Yirmiya, and Rabbi Yirmiya was preparing himself to get ready to daven. Kari alei Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira got upset with him, and it said to him, "Meisir asmo mishmoa Torah pasuk in Mishlei. If you turn your ear from hearing Torah, gam tefilaso toeva. So to your tefillah will be something of disgusting or abominable. It'll be something disgusting." So Rabbi Zeira was criticizing Rabbi Yirmiya for leaving his learning to go daven. So all the Mefarshim point out that this is specifically with them, where Torasahu Mnaso, and therefore they have this idea of learning all the time. But for us and most normal people, that's not the case. It should be Tefillah Lechud and Zman Torah Lechud. Time to learn, we learn. Time to daven, we should daven. I'm just breaking if anyone wants to say anything. Okay, the Gemara is now going back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah said listed a bunch of things that if you started something, you don't stop. So the Gemara said one of those things was Haskalas Hadin. If the Dayanim started to judge, So what is the Haskalah Sadin? How do you have to know that point in time so that if they start Haskalah Sadin, they don't have to stop for Maariv or for Mincha. We said it for Mincha. So May Emasai Haskalah Sadin. So what point in time is considered the starting point for Din? Rav Yirmi Rav Yona, machlokas between Rav Yirmi and Rav Yona. Chad Amar Mishe Yis Atvu Hadayanim. One says when the Dayanim sit down and put on their talisim. Apparently, in the din, you're supposed to wrap themselves in a talis. The Chad Amar Mishe Yiftechu Bale Din. Opening statements, right? That's when the din starts. So at that point, then you don't have to stop. Below Pligi, but it's not really a machlokas in Rav Yirmi and Rav Yona. It depends on what the case is about. Where, I guess it depends on which part of the case we're up to, right? So they say the one who says that the din begins when the opening statements begin. That's the aski v'asu bedina. That's when you already started the case, and I guess you're on day two of the case. So in the beginning of the statements on day two, that's the haskala. Baha, but the one who says that the chilas adin is when they wrap themselves is the lo aski v'asu bedine. That's when they weren't dealing. I guess when the case where, let me correct myself. The case where we say that haskalas adin is when they are when the bali dinim have their opening statements. That's if the dayanim have been there already. The dayanim started the day and now other people came in. But if it's the first case of the day, the lo aski. They haven't dealt with any other cases, va'asu bedina, and then they start dealing with the din. Then the beginning is when they wrap themselves. But the other time, they're already wrapped already because they've already heard other cases. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi havu yosvei ugarse b'nei amude. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting, and I guess they were learning between the pillars of the Beis Medrash. Like the kol shaita v'shaita havu tavchi abira didasha v'amri. In every and every time they would, I guess, they would bang on the door, and they would say, if anybody has din and anyone needs a judgment, they should come to us where we're standing by the pillars, and we'll judge them.
Michael, you have a second? Maybe everybody should put their things on mute because you hear all the backgrounds of everybody doing whatever they're doing. It's a little distracting.
All right, so everyone knows how to do that. I know on the computer it's easy.
You hit your own screen on the phone on the left-hand corner of the bottom.
Okay, so mute button. So if I'm looking here, everybody's on mute. Everyone's on mute except there's a phone number, 917-445-6215. That's not on mute. If you can figure, whoever that is, if you can figure that out, that'd be great. And Menachem just went on mute, which is good. So I think we're good to go. Jay's on mute. Welcome. Just that one phone number. So whoever has that phone number, either can try to put it on mute or just try your hardest not to make any noise. I'm not saying it's you, but whoever it is, it's fine. Okay, Mati, we'll continue now. You good? Okay, good, because I can't hear you because you're on mute. Okay. Rav Chisda v'Rava bar Rav Huna havu yosvei bedina kule yame. So Rav Chisda and Rav Huna were sitting and they were judging all day. And they got upset. They had chalishas had leave. The machlokas whether it was that they felt weak because they were upset that they didn't learn the whole day because they were just doing dayanos, and the machlokas they actually got weak because they were tired because they hadn't eaten the entire day. So Tanaluhu, so Rav Chiya bar Rav Difti said to Rav Chisda and Rav Barhuna, it says that it says Vayamona am al Moshe min aboker v'yad erev. He says he asked them sort of like, yes, so why are you judging them from morning till night? I mean, you can judge both ways. Either you can judge part of the day and learn part of the day, or you don't have to be you don't have to not eat. You should take a break and eat. Why are you sitting there the whole time? Right, he says Vayomer am el Moshe min aboker v'yad erev. Moshe was standing from morning till night. V'kitale adaskal shemoshe Yoshe v'dan kol yom kulo. You really think that Moshe was judging the entire day? If that's the case, Torasu masai nasis. So when did he learn? When did he teach? If he was judging all day, El Olomer comes to teach us shekol dayon she don din emes lamito. That every judge who judges truth to its truth. No double language there. Afilu sha'achas. Even for 1 hour, ma'alav akoskiu nasashutu v'kadosh baruch hu min masiv reishis. If a judge judges truthfully, it's as if he becomes a partner to a kadosh baruch hu in masiv reishis, in creation. How do you know? Ksiv Hacha, one pasuk says, Vayamur Amal Moshe min a boker at Erev, Ksiv Boker at Erev. The Ksiv Hassam says, Am I Sabrachis, Vay Erev, Vay Boker, Yom Echad. So the Agadit comparison between Boker and Erev Boker shows you that a judge who just judges one time, Din Emes Lamito, he becomes a Shuto. So you don't have to stay the whole day. You don't have to stand the whole day. Either you don't have to stand the whole day, meaning eat a little bit during the day, or you don't have to stand the whole day. Take a break and go learn Torah. But there's a very, just to point out, there's a very interesting tour. The Torah points out, the Torah in Kosher Mishpat Hilchos Dayanim Siman Aleph explains why is it, what's the comparison between judging Din Emes and Maisa Bereishis. So the Torah says, V'zeu Kavanos Rabboseinu Zal Ba'amrim Kol Adon Din Emes Lamito, why do you become a partner of the Kodesh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereishis? Ki HaKodesh Baruch Hu Bara Olam Lios Kayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, and all the world, so the world should exist, and the world should stand, and the world should run and function. The harishayim, maybe it's better. The world should function. The harishayim should goes in the chomsin, machriven osu masayim. And the thieves, they by stealing, they destroy the world because the world doesn't function if everyone's stealing and taking from everybody else. Kemosha matzina bedor hamabul, like we find by the generation of the flood. Shlo nechtam zardinam ella alagezel. The whole point of the flood came about that the final straw was theft, right? The ksiv kimala aretz chamas, and then it says hininimach shisam es aretz. So you find that the judge who basically breaks the arms of the evil people and he takes from the evil people what they've stolen and gives back to the rightful owners, he's mekayim le'olam. He's putting the world back in order. He's making the world function. He's putting the world back in order. That is why he's considered a shutaf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tosos points out, what does it mean, din emes la'amito? He says, the last Tosos on the page, he says, lafuke din meruma. To come to exclude the case of a din merumah. The case of din merumah is that the judge has the right, even if all the edim say one way, and he suspects that something's up, so he has a right to basically to nullify the jury, so to speak, and to paskin against all the evidence because he can feel that that something fishy is going on. So that's emes lamito. He goes to the depths of the emes. Okay. Now the Gemara just continues, Ad Masva Yoshi Medin. So for how long, until what point in time of the day do the judges have to sit in judgment? Amar Rav Sheshes Ad Zman Tzu'udah, until the time of the meal. So what is that? We'll find out. But first the Pasuk says, Amar Rav Chama, my cry, from what Pasuk do we know, where we learn this, that they can sit until the meal? The Ksir, the Pasuk in Kohelas, the Psukim Kohelas say, Ilach Eretz Shemalkech Na'ar. If you have woe to the land that their leaders are young, v'sarayech baboker yochelu, and the ministers eat in the morning. Ashrecha eretz shel malkech ben chorin. Chorin, I guess, praiseworthy is the people whose kings are, right, malkech ben chorin. What Rashi said over there? Right, praiseworthy are the people who are, that their kings are older. V'sarech be'es yochelu, and the ministers eat at the right time. I mean, they're not eating and partying all night. He says, b'gvura v'lo bashti. Begvurish, what does that mean? Begvurish otorav obustir shayayin, which means you can, the gvura is without drinking and eating, that the judgment has to be without eating or drinking. So they should stop judging at the meal. So Tana Rabbanan, what time is that? So the rice brings up rice. So Shah Rishona, the first hour of the day, machaludim. That's the time that the ludim, this is like Rashi points out, these are some Uma Shakorin Kanulish, or Ochli Adamheim, these cannibals. Name Ravasanim, they would eat all the time, they would eat right away, first hour of the day. Shnia machalistim, the gazlanim eat in the third hour. Shlishish machal yorshim, the wealthy people, right, those who have, had the trust fund babies, machal yorshim, they would eat in the third hour. Revis machal poalim, in the fourth hour is when the workers would eat. Chamishis machal kol adam, that's the regular people eat during the fifth hour of the day. Not sure why. So the Gemara says, Aini, is that really the case? Va'amar Rab Papa, Revius Matsudal Choladam. We have that Revius is the time for the Poalim. And Rav Papa says the fourth hour is the time for everybody else. Ella, Revius, Machal Bnei Adam. So we change it. The fourth hour of the day is when most people eat. Chamishis, Machal Poalim. The fifth hour is when the workers eat. I guess that's when they have their first break because they're working all day. So they give them a break to eat. In the fifth hour, Shishis, the sixth hour, is Machal Talmidei Chachamim. That's when the Talmidei Chachamim ate in the sixth hour. I guess they learned till then and they ate. Mikan Ve'elech, after you ate, Kizorik, after that sixth hour, Kizorik Evan Lachemas. It's unhealthy. It's like throwing a stone into an empty bag. You should eat before there. I guess it's against intermittent fasting because you're supposed to eat before the sixth hour of the day. And Amar Abaye says, Lo Amaron, we don't say this whole idea of Kizorik Evan Lachemas, Ela Delotan Midi B'Tzafra. If you didn't taste anything. Yeah.
Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Kiva Willig, had a whole one of his posts was about Pas Shacharis and Zimin Desmond.
Interesting. Does he have it up online?
No. I don't know. I don't know what he said about it, but he had a whole talk about it.
Okay, very cool. Because of very nice. I was just joking, but all right. So Amar Abaye lo amaran el lotoy midi. This whole idea, that's not healthy to not eat until the sixth hour is only if you didn't taste a little bit beforehand. If lotoy midi b'tzafer, but if you taste a little bit in the morning, less lamboy, you don't have to be concerned about it. So if you taste a little bit and then you wait till the sixth hour, you're okay. The point being is that Talmidei Chachamim waited till the sixth hour, so I guess that's the point of time when they ate, and so they judged in the morning. Up to the sixth hour, that's when they did the judging. Fine. Okay. Now we go over to this other idea of the bathhouse, right? We mentioned the bathhouse. So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ada bar Ava mispalel adam tefilaso the beis hamercha." So a person can daven, say his tefillah, even in the bathhouse. So the Gemara says, "Meisve." We ask a question on Rav Ada. How can you say that you can say your tefillah in the bathhouse? So that apparently the way the bathhouse were set up is that there were three parts to the bathhouse. There was an outer part, a middle part, and then the inner part. So the inner part is the actual part where you went to bathe. Then the middle part seems to be like the changing room, and the outer part is where I guess where people congregated and socialized beforehand before they went in. So the outer part is the most sanua part. The inner part there are people starting to get changed, and you know some are dressed, some are not. And all the way in is where I guess people are naked because they're actually going into the bath. So he brings the brisa. Hanichnas lebeis hamerchatz. So if someone who walks into the bathhouse, makom shebnei adam omdim levushim at the outer hallway where people stand clothed, right? Yesham mikra utfila. You'll allow to say kriya shema there, and you'll allow to daven there, and you'll allow to learn there. The ain sarich lomer she'ela shalom. Of course, you can say shalom aleichem. You could use the word shalom. Shalom meaning the name of Hashem. Umeiniach tefillin. You can put on tefillin. The ain sarich lomer she'ela cholitz. And you can put on your tefillin, and of course, you don't have to take off your tefillin. The next chamber, more inside, where people stand, some are naked, some are clothing, which is more like the changing room. So there, Yesham She'ela Shalom. You can say Shalom to your friend. The Ein Sham Mikra Utfila. There, you can't learn Torah and you can't say Kriya Shema and Davening. The Ein Ocholetz Tefillin. But if you went in with your Tefillin on, you don't have to take your Tefillin off. The Ein Omeniach Lichatchila. But you don't put them on Lichatchila. But the place, the further inside where the people are actually always naked, then it's even more serious. Ein sham she'ela shalom, the ein sarach lomer mikro tefila, the cholitz v'tefillin, the ein sarach lomer she'ena menichin. So you can't learn, you can't daven, you have to take off your tefillin, and you can't walk in putting your tefillin. So you see from here that you're not allowed to daven in the beis hamerchatz. The assumption being is that the beis hamerchatz is that inner chamber. You're not allowed to daven in the beis hamerchatz. So how does Rav Ada bar Ava say you are allowed to daven in the beis hamerchatz? So Gemara answers. I thought the answer would just be simple. Rav Ada is talking about the outer part. But that's not the way the Gemara goes. It says, Kika Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, it's Bemercha She'en Bo Adam. Rav Ada Bar Ava says that you're allowed to daven in the Beis HaMerchatz, as it means that there's no people. I mean, the Beis HaMerchatz itself is not considered a Makom Tinuf, it's not considered a disgusting place, so if there's nobody there, you can daven. The Gemara says, that can't be. Va Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, Merchatz She'amru, this idea where we said, this place, this Merchatz, we said that you're not allowed to daven in, Afal Pi She'en Bo Adam. Then even if there are no people there, and Beis Akisei She'amru, and the Beis Akisei, the latrine, where you say in Alei Adavin, that's Afal Pi She'en Bo Tzoa, that's even if there's no excrement there. I mean, the place itself becomes a disgusting place. Even if it's clean and there's no excrement, you can't daven there. So, shades of Masechas Brachos here. Ela Kika Amar Rav Ada B'chadati. So when Rav Ada says that you're allowed to daven in the Beis HaMerchatz, that's discussing a new Beis HaMerchatz that no one ever used yet. So you were miyachei this place to be the Beis HaMerchatz. We don't say that once it's set aside to be the Beis HaMerchatz, that automatically you can't daven there. Right? So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'hami b'ayi Ravina. Ravina had this kasha in Gemara Brachos regarding the bathroom. Right, his minu beis akisei. You set something aside that it should be used as the bathroom, so and no one ever used it yet. So mahu, what's the din? Can you say davar kashabakdusha in there? Ye zimun o ein zimun? Does the preparing it or setting aside, does the fact that you declared this place to be a bathroom, does that create the status of the bathroom so that you cannot daven in there, or does it not create the status of the bathroom yet because no one used it yet? Right, velo ifshit le, and we never answered the question. So lav hua din lemerchatz, should that not be the same question applied to the merchatz? So why is Rav Ada saying specifically or unequivocally that you can daven in the base of merchatz that hasn't been used yet? It should be the same shaila that we have with the bathroom. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same shaila. The Berchatz and the Besakisei are different. Lo, Dilma Shana Besakisei Demais. A Besakisei is something that's really disgusting. So that's something that's really disgusting and gross. So even if you set aside, there's a Havamir to say, even if it hasn't been used yet, you can't daven. But when it comes to the base.
But in the Gemara in Brachos, didn't it say that the Persian bathrooms were different?
Right, so that must be a different bathroom.
Sloping?
Right, so that must be a different bathroom. It must be the bathroom that's that like not like our bathrooms, because our bathrooms also we said that wouldn't really have the problem. It's a place, I guess, where it's, you know, more like a latrine. It doesn't have that slope.
But it goes back to the designation. That doesn't matter on the designation or not.
No, so if your designation...
Because the Persian bathrooms is designated as a bathroom, regardless of whether there's soil there or not.
The Persian bathroom was good. You didn't have to have a problem, I thought.
But right, because it's all rolled away.
So right, so that's a different story. So we're talking about you're designating a bathroom that's not a Persian bathroom.
Why would our bathrooms not be worse than a bathroom that hasn't been used yet?
I mean, I guess the idea would be is that because when you set aside a place, it gets the status of what that place is going to be. And those bathrooms, when you set it aside, it's going to be a place where the tzoa is going to be there. That's the answer, I would think. I don't know. Jay, why are you in the dark there? Put a light on. All right. Let's go weiter. Now we're going to speak about the name Shalom, right? So the name Shalom is interesting because it's one of the names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So people have the name Shalom. Can you call them by Shalom? Can you write the name Shalom? So Gemara then says, "Ein she'elos Shalom." Right, in the inner chamber of the bathhouse, you can't even say Shalom to your friend. So Misaylei Rav Hamnuna Mishmei De'ula. This is a support to Rav Hamnuna. The Amar who says, "Asul Adam Shitein Shalom Chaveru Beis Amerchatz." You're not allowed to give Shalom to your friend in the Beis Amerchatz. Mishum Shenemar. It's not saying hello. It's actually saying the word Shalom. Mishum Shenemar, because the pasuk says by Gidon, right? By Yikra Lo Hashem Shalom. He called Hashem Shalom. So the Shalom is like a nickname. It's a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you should be able to say that nickname in that name in a Shalom in a bathroom. The Gemara says, "El Miyat." If that's the case, if all things, all nicknames that we say that of Hashem, we're not supposed to say in a bathroom, then "He Menusa Nami Asla Meimar." You shouldn't say the word Emuna, you know, faith, the base of Kisei or the base of Merchatz. Why? The Ksiv Hakel Haneman, God who's the faithful God. So Gemara, so why can you say that? Why only Shalom? So the Kitei Mahachanami. And if you're going to answer me Ein Hachanami, you can't say that in the bathhouse. Hamar Rav Bar Machsi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav Shari Lemeimar Heminusa BeBesakisei. You are permitted to say the word Heminusa BeBesakisei. So what's the difference between the name Shalom and the name Ne'eman? So the Gemara says Hasam. When it comes to the name to the word Ne'eman, Shem Gufei Lo Ikrei Hachi. It's not an actual name of Hashem. It's a descriptive term of Hashem. He's the faithful God, right? It did mitargimina, because you look at the Targum, it's Eloha Mehemna. It's the God who is Ne'eman. Aval, but Hacha, by here, by Gidon, Shem Gufei Ikre. He actually calls Hashem Shalom. Diksiv, by Yikra Lo Hashem, he calls Hashem Shalom. So it's an actual name that he calls him, so that's a difference. The Mishnah Berurah points out on Siman Pei Dalet that he says that, you know, you're not allowed to say the same Shalom. He says, Ki Shalom Hu Shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what he says, Yesh Matirin, there are those who are Matir, Kevon She'enu Miskavin Al Inan Shalom El Haskar Shemosh Al Oso Adam. What's your kavanah when you call out your friend's name? Right? When you call that, you should call this person's name. Shalom Aleichem, my opinion. So if you call someone named Shalom, Rabbi Raza's name is Shalom. So if you call the name Shalom, your intent is not to be calling Hashem by his name. Your intent is to be calling the person named Shalom and to speak to him. So therefore, maybe that you can be Mekel if you're speaking to someone named Shalom. But there happens to be, you know, there is literature about the name Shalom. Okay, but Amar Rav Machsia, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. This is interesting. Hanosein Matana L'Chaveiro. If you give a gift to your friend, Tzarech L'Hodio. You shouldn't do so anonymously. You should let your friend know that you gave him the gift, that you gave the gift. It's quite Rashi. It's all the way to the top of the third top line. Tzarech L'Hodio. Sarath Lodio Matam Ploni Etin Lecha, that I gave you this. Vuzer Derech Kavod. It's respectful to do this. It's honorable Shema Yisbayesh the Kabbalah. Maybe guy doesn't want to accept it. The person doesn't want to accept a gift. But if you go to him and you tell him and you explain to him why you're giving the gift, and then he's not going to be embarrassed. That's a real gift. Tosfos just points out, it's V'dafka b'matanah sheno sein lo, al yedei ava. This is a gift I want to give you because I have some sort of appreciation. I'm giving you the gift. She'ein ha-miskabal mizbayesh. Because then the recipient won't be embarrassed. Aval ha-no sein tztaka. Not a gift. If you're giving tztaka, shah miskavam is bayish, there the recipient is embarrassed, then matu besesu yichafe'af. Then you have to do it anonymously. So tayin ha-mihach, we have a brice that says the same idea, that you're giving a gift, not tztaka, you're giving a gift, you're supposed to let the recipient know where it came from, because the pasuk says, ladas ki ani Hashem mikadishchem, that you should know that I am Hashem who is mikadishu. What does that mean? Amar lo kadosh baruch hu l'moshe, God says to Moshe, matana tova yesh beis ginzi, Gnozi, I have this beautiful gift that's in my treasure house, v'Shabbos Shema, and it's called Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh litna l'Yisrael, and I want to give it to Bnei Yisrael. Lech v'hodiem, go and tell them that I want to give them this gift. Mikan, from here, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Hano sein pat latinok, if you give a little gift, some bread to the young kid, tzarech lo di li'imo, you have to let the mother know that you were the one who gave the gift. Because if you have something, a present, it should be known that I guess the idea is to know where it came from and what the reason is behind it, and maybe that would create, you know, if you did something nice to somebody and then they recognize it to you by giving you a gift, you have this feeling of achva, and you have this feeling of, you feel good about yourself that someone recognized you. So what do you do?
That pasuk is this past week's parsha.
Very nice. Very nice. So ma avidle, so how do you, if you're giving it to a baby or a young kid, he's going to forget by the time he gets home. So ma avidle, so what do you do in order that to notify the mother? You want the kid to notify the mother that this person gave you the gift. So ma avidle, so amar abaye, shayifle mishcha, umayle kuchla. Put some oil on his eyes or put some kachol, some sort of makeup on his eyes. And when he comes home, the mother's going to ask him, what is that? And he'll say, oh, that so-and-so gave me a gift. But Bezman Zeh, which means Bezman of the Gemara, where you don't put these things on the person's face because we're concerned about witchcraft. My, what do you do? So Amar Rafapa Shayif Leme Oso Hamin. Whatever you gave him, that you put on him. Or you gave him ice cream, I guess wipe his face with ice cream. I don't know, do something in order to make a hint. So the mother's going to ask, what is that? And then the kid will say, oh, so-and-so gave me this present. So the mother says, Aini, is that really true that if you give him a ton of chavero, you're supposed to let him know that, you're supposed to tell the recipient that you gave it to them? V'amar of Chama B'Rebbe Chanina, Hanosi Matan L'Chavero, if you give a gift to your present, ain't Tzarech L'Hodio, you do not have to tell him, let him know that the gift came from you. Shneamar, also from this week's parsha, right? Umoshe lo yada ki karan or panah bedabroito. Moshe didn't know that he had this radiance that was on his face. So he got this gift, and he had no idea. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him. So Moshe says, "Lokasha, no, that's not it. That's not a kasha. Ha, when do we say that you do not have to tell? You shouldn't tell the person about the gift. It's b'milsa davida lagluye. It's when it's going to be. It's known to all. It's clear. Everyone's going to see it. Moshe's face was radiant. Everyone saw it. Someone's going to tell him. You don't have to tell him." Vaha, but Rava said, Rav's thing where you do tell them is the most law of Yidla Gluye. It's when it's not necessarily going to be revealed, that not everyone's going to know about it. So maybe that's the case where you have to reveal that you gave the gift. And the Gemara asks, I have Shabbos Tavid Gluye, but Shabbos is something that's going to be known, right? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael that I'm going to give them the gift of Shabbos if Shabbos is something that's going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed every week. Don't do this, do this, don't do this. So it's going to be revealed. So Gemara says, no, you're right, that's the revealed. But Matan Tzchara Lo Avid Gluye. But what the reward is going to be, that is not going to necessarily be revealed. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Moshe to tell them that he's giving them the present. Rav Chisda have a nakit biyodei tarte mat nasa disora. So Rav Chisda, who was a Kohen, was walking around with two of the matnas kahuna. Right, you have to give these matnas kahuna, the zrayim cable to the Kohen, and he was walking around, and the matnas kahuna belonged to the Kohen. He can do with it as he pleases. He can give it to anybody. It's not divrei hekdesh. It's just owned by the Kohen. But Amar, so he said, Kol man da'asi v'amar li shmaitis l'chadasa mishmei rav. Whoever can come to me and tell me a new halacha, something that they learned from Rav, Yahavina le nahale. I will give you these matanos. You can have the meat. Rashi just points out what's going on here. Reb Chisda is a Kohen. Reb Chisda Rav Chisda is in after the Zman of Beis HaMikdash, and he's in Bavel. What's he doing with Matnas Kahuna? So there's Rashi that points out here. He says, V'afagav, it's this long Rashi in the middle of the Amid. He says, V'afagav, the Rav Chisda, v'chutzlaretz havei, Lo yalfina mehacha de matnas noheges bismanazeh. We don't learn from Rav Chisda that matnas kahuna apply bismanazeh as well. Da'ida naga amal ketlasi savi. Because nowadays we hold like the three elders, with the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Chav Beis, Rav Yosha b'Kalayim, Rav Yehuda b'Tfilas K'bal Kerian, the Talmud Torah, like Rav Yehuda, that you could still learn without going to the mikvah, and Rav Yila b'Reishis Hageish, Shaya Omer Eino Nog Elab Aretz, that the Matnas Kuna are only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. Don't learn from here. Rashi points out, it took time for that minhag to develop. So at the time of Rav Chisda, they may still have been people who were dealing with the Matnas Kahuna, even in Chutz La'aretz. But you should know that over time, the Menhag developed that we do not have this concept of Matnas Kahuna in Chutz La'aretz. But what Rav Chisda said is, whoever gives me sends me a nice vort from Rav, I'll give them the Matnas Kahuna. So Amalei Rava Bar Machsia. So Rav Mach says, Hachi Amar Rav. This is what Rav said. Hanosei Matana L'Chaveiro. Someone who gives a gift to his friend. Sarich Laodio, you should tell him. Shene'amar ladas ki ani Hashem mikadoshchem, because the pasuk says, like Hashem said, that you should know that I am Hashem. So when Rav Chisda heard that, Yahavah Nihile, he gave him the meat, he gave him the gifts because he was so happy to hear the statement in the name of Rav. So Amar, so Rav Bar Machsia says to Rav Chisda, Chavivin alach shmeita derav kulei hai, are the words of Rav so beloved to you that you're willing to give away all these things to hear a statement of Rav? So Amar lay in. So he says, yeah, it is. So Amar Leh, so Rav Bar Machsia says back to Rav Chisda, Hainu da Amar Rav. Ah, so if they're so beloved to you, that's exactly what Rav said, that Amar Rav, Milesa Alvasheyu Yakira, that it's very, very special to you, the addressing, meaning that you're a Talmud of Rav, and you regularly heard the statements of Rav, that's why you're going all the way around to find more statements of Rav. So Amar Leh, so Rav Chisda says back to him, Amar Rav Hachi, is this what Rav said? So he said, if that's the case, Basraisa Diflimi Kamaisa, this statement is greater than the first statement. V'havin Nakita Achrita Yahavin Lach. I would prefer to give you the meat over the second statement, meaning the second statement is more beloved than the first statement. The first statement was just that, if you give a present, you should let the person know. The second statement was something to the effect of the fact that people who learn from somebody are so desperate to hear more from the person they learn from. Okay. V'amar Rava Bar Machsia, Amar Rav Mavchama Bar Gurya. I guess this is just going back to the same people who made the statement before. So that's the connection. Amar Rav La'olam Al Yishane Adam Bino Bein Habanim. You shouldn't show favoritism to one son over another. Shebishfil Mishkal Shnei Shlayim Melas, because of something that weighed two Shlayim, right? I guess that for the wool. I guess the wool that weighed two Shlayim. Shenasan Yaakov Yosef, that Yaakov gave to Yosef, Yosef Misherban above the other brothers. Niska'anu bo Echav. Then his brothers got jealous. V'niskagel Hadavar V'yardu Avostein L'Mitzrayim. Because of that, Bnei Yisrael went to Mitzrayim. Tosos asks, what do you mean? That's the reason why Bnei Yisrael went to Mitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael went to Mitzrayim because Hashem told Avram that that's what's going to happen. Right? He said it's going to go, Rashi says, that Tosos points out, Tosos Hachi Garsinon, says, Ve'afa gav de belav hachi nigzar, even without this whole idea of Yosef, right, it was a gzera that we're going to go to Mitzrayim. Diksiv, the Pasuk says, Vavdum v'enu osam. So Tosos says, Shema, maybe, lo haya nigzar leim inui kolkach. Maybe if not for what happened with Yaakov and Yosef, it wouldn't have been so oppressive. Maybe because of this, it started earlier, it was more oppressive. It's very difficult to say. I mean, for the Gemara, it's just a difficult Gemara, that the reason why we had Galus Mitzrayim was because of the favoritism shown to Yosef, if in fact the Galus Mitzrayim was preordained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go a little further. Amar Rav Bar Machsia, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, La'olam yichaser adam v'yeshe b'ir sheyishivasa krova. A person should always look out and find an ear that a city that its inhabitants are close. What does it mean, krova? Rashi says that krova means that it's older, it's more established. You should sit in an established town. I guess maybe then starting a new community. You should go to an established town, right? Shemitoch yeshivasa krova. No, the other way around. The other way around. You should try to find a place that's not as established. You should find a new town, Yeshivasa Krova, a newer town. Shemitoch Yeshivasa Krova Avanosem Uatim. Because if it's a newer town, they had less time, so they have less sins. Shenemar, because it says by Lot when he's running away from Stone and he wants to go someplace, he says to the Malachim, Hinei noha ir hazos krova lenu shama, v'hi mitzar. Let's go to the city, Misar, which is krova, right? And he says, all right, I'm latana shama, we should go there. So my krova, what does the word krova mean there? Imi lema krova, if it's makrove vizuta, that it's really closer to run there. Bakuchazuleh, the Malachim will see that. Why does Lot have to say, let's go to this city because it's closer? The Malachim would see that it's closer. El mitoshe yishivasa krova avarosem utzarim. What the Gemara is, the drasha is that because it was a younger city, therefore it's going to have less sins, and maybe we can go there because maybe over there it's not going to be destroyed because they don't have as many sins. So Amar of Avin Mikra. Well, how do we know? How is it hinted in the pasuk that this ear, this city, so was younger city? So it says diksiv imlata nashama. And let me run there, and it says the word na. Na bigamatria chamisha mechad havia. Na, the gematria of na, nun aleph is 51. Ve shall stone chamisha usrei. But, and stone was a 52-year-old city. So this one was a 51-year-old city, and stone was a 52-year-old city. Ve shall vasa as esrin vishesh. Stone only had, you know, peace and tranquility for 26 years. But half of his existence, it was at war. Diksiv, because it says, Shtemis Reishana Avdu, for 12 years they were subservient to Kedala Omer. And then it says, Shlosh Reishana Maradu, so 12 and 13, that was 25. Ubab Arsar, then Kedala Omer came. So there was 26 years of battle. But somehow they proved that Stone was 52 years old, and this city, Tzohar, was only 51 years old. Okay. So I guess we'll stop here. And Yirtzeh Hashem, continue learning. Have a good as normal day as possible. Everyone stay safe. And we'll meet again tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, everyone have a great day.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care.
Michael.
Okay, Michael,
thank you.
How's it going?
Right, Michael, thank you.